Okay. Basically, the way Rav Gusman understands the Arichas and the Lashon of Rav at the beginning of the Gemara is because Rav is really coming to tell you a big chiddush, and as a result, it's not so pashut that the halacha is true, and therefore we need to find the makor for it. And that's why the Gemara goes through all that discussion to find the sources in Mishnayis from the Tanaim to show that the halacha is correct. And Tosfos Reads says specifically, the chiddush is because we're calling it Dvarim Shebleidein and Dvarim, despite the fact that there's an umdana that's so strong that the guy's really only selling land in the first place because of the fact that he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. Question is, once you get that far, so Gusman has another kasha. If it's really true that we know that this guy is selling the land only because he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, and not only do we have that Nemunas, but you need that Nemunas, right? We pointed out from almost all the Rishonim, make some reference to the fact that this guy had to tell us ahead of time, before the time of the Mechir, before he sold the Karka, that he was interested in going to Eretz Yisrael. Because that's what makes it even Dvarim Shebaleid. But if the guy never made any mention of going to Eretz Yisrael, and it was only after the Mechir took place, and after he wasn't successful in making Aliyah, that he told us, oh, I only sold because I wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, so then it's not even Dvarim Shebaleid that we can say in Dvarim. It's not even Dvarim Shebaleid. It's nothing. And in order to have a Nemunas, that's what you were thinking, so then you have to make some sort of halchacha beforehand. But once you tell me that you're accepting the fact that he wants to sell it only because he's going to Eretz Yisrael, so then you have to ask an even bigger kasha. Maybe the kinyan shouldn't be chal at all. If the guy only did it because he had this in mind, so he obviously didn't have das for the kinyan, because it was contingent upon him going to Eretz Yisrael. So to that, Gusman answers a very, very big chiddush, that when it comes to kinyanim, and then he's going to extend it in the sugya to Gittin Kedushin, the truth is that we can divide it into two parts. There's a das for the kinyan, the Maisa Kinyan, and the Das for the Chalos of the Kinyan. And when it comes to Kinyanim, the only thing that you have to have is Das for the Maisa. And in this case, the guy certainly does have Das for the Maisa, because he thinks that if he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael, he wants the Mechir to be Chal, right? So he definitely wants the Maisa to happen. It's just a question in his mind if the Chalos is actually going to play itself out, assuming that he does go to Eretz Yisrael, or not play itself out if he doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael. But in any situation, he wants the Maisa to happen, because that's the only thing that can allow him to have the Chalos take place later if he decides to, if he makes it to Eretz Yisrael. So, that being the case, so Rav Gusman's Machai is that the only thing you need is the Das for the Maisa Kinyan. And even if he didn't have in mind for the Chalos Kinyan, that's irrelevant. As long as he had Das for the Maisa Kinyan, that's all that's necessary when it comes to Kinyonim, Mechuch Memkar, and Gittin Kedushin. So as a result, even though the guy only sold it because he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's not going to be Chisron in his Das that will make the Maisa Kinyan disappear. Now we know that that's not going to work according to these souls we discussed in Reb Chaim, because Reb Chaim, going back to the earlier Shiurim, laid down the groundwork for the whole chelak of a Baal. And a Maisa Kedushin, Maisa Gerushin is that Hua Oser Hua Matir. It's his Das Dabasha Be'erva to create the Kedushin or the Gerushin that allows it to take place. And we discussed many Nafka meanings as a result of that. So according to Reb Chaim, it's impossible to say that a person's Das for a Chalos, Maisa Kedushin, Maisa Gerushin is irrelevant. Because according to Reb Chaim, it is your Das for that Chalos that's what allows the Chalos to happen in the first place. Not just something that happens automatically whether or not you have Das for it. But rather, your Das in the Chalos is absolutely necessary. So we're back to the original question of Rav Gusman. If this guy, we believe him to say that he's only selling because he wants to go to Israel, then why, in the end of the day, can the Maisa Kinyan be Chal? If he didn't have in mind for the chalos to take place. So the answer is because Reb Chaim says that you can't even separate the das for the maisa and the das for the chalos. The chalos is really a direct result of the das for the maisa that you perform. The maisa and the chalos go together, so you can't say that it has one das and not das for the other. Again, they're part and parcel of the same thing. So why is the kinyan chal? Because what we're looking at over here is a stira. We're looking at a stira between A, the fact that we know his das is to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's why he's selling the land. On the other hand, when a person makes a Maisa Kinyan and does not say anything along with that Maisa Kinyan that indicates he wants it to disappear if he doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael, so then that is treated by Bezdin, by Halacha, as a complete Maisa Kinyan, because he didn't have any strings attached. So we end up having a steer between his maisa, which was done with no strings attached, and the das that's going on in his head that we've already established that he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he's selling his land. And it's not that we can ignore one piece of information. We take both into account. But many times in halach we find steers exist, such as in the sugya, where we give a mashal of Tav Slush and Rishon or Achron. The person says Hariza Ola, Hariza Shlamim, so he made a stira, because he can't have an animal with both kedushas. But halacha also provides ways to be miashed this year. The Torah tells us, listen to the first thing that he said, listen to the second thing that he said. That's machlokes tanaim. But in any case, despite the fact that the steer exists, there are klalim that tell us choose one over the other. And here, the klal of dvarim tevlei deinim dvarim is going to tell us that this is the side you should listen to. You should listen to what he says b'pen, not what he says in his heart. But it's not the pshat that his das for the fact that he's lacking das for the chalos kinin is irrelevant. No. He doesn't have, he can have complete das for the maisa kinin, and he can have complete das for the chalos kinin. But in the end of the day, we have to hold that up against what he said, and if this is what he said, that he wants to sell it unconditionally, because he didn't make any clause about going to Israel, then that's what we follow. Now, that's a great segue for the general analysis of the Machlokas Ran Rajba on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand, in how we understand the concept of Dvarim Shebleid, Einum Dvarim. We'll go with the Rambam first, because it fits well, I think, with the way Rebbe explained Reb Chaim. If you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Shavuos, when he talks about the case of where a person makes a neder to the person who's ma'anis him, right? So the person says to him, "Give me all your money," and you say, "I can't give you this money. I can't give you this fruit because it's truma." Let's say so you make a neder to prove to him that it's truma. You make a shvua to prove to him that it's truma, and as a result, he leaves you alone. So that's the case over there. And the Gemara says that that's considered an example of nidre onsen, and the neder is not chal, but we have the nether chal for one day, because the person has to have in his mind when he makes a shvua that he doesn't mean to ask it forever, he only means to ask it for that day. The question is, why are we listening to what he said in his head as opposed to what he said v'peh? So to that, the Rambam explains that ho aveinu yochel hotzi b'sfasav b'mnei ha'ones hariza somech al dvarim shebelibo. Since he wasn't able to say outright, explicitly, what he really has in mind at the time of the Shavuot, at the time of the Neder, so we'll listen to what he's thinking inside his heart. Okay, so that's very different. That's very different than what the Ran and the Rajba say, that when a person has Dvarim Shebelev, it's really nothing. Dvarim Shebelev Einum Dvarim, it's not taken into account when it's held up against what he says B'peh. Okay? Now, to explain that a little bit differently, a little bit more carefully, actually, the Ran and the Rajba do say that Dvarim Tevelev can sometimes be taken seriously. And that's when they're not coming to be soser what he said b'peh, but when they're coming to be mefarish what he said b'peh. Okay? So that means that Dvarim Tevelev in Dvarim is to be interpreted as a relative concept. That it's not in Dvarim, it's not like he never said it, but when I have to hold it up against the Koach, Dvarim Shebepeh, the klal is you follow Dvarim Shebepeh, because that's much, much stronger than the words he said in his heart. Okay, as opposed to what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, Hari says, Somech al Dvarim Shebelibo. In a situation where it's in Yachal Hotzi B'Sfasav B'Mnei Ha'Ones, when he has a gun to his head and he can't say what he really means, Hari says, Somech al Dvarim Shebelibo. So then you do have the right to follow what he's saying in his heart. So that suggests that it's not exactly what the Ran and the Rajba said. It's not the pshat that I had Dvarim Shebepeh and Dvarim Shebelev against each other, Dvarim Shebepeh is stronger and it wins. No. It sounds as if Dvarim Shebepeh and Dvarim Shebelev are on the same level of strength. It's just that the klal is, when you have a sphere between what he's thinking, what he's saying, you follow what he's saying. And therefore, when it comes to a case of an onus, so for some reason that's not considered a stira, where we take into account what he said as opposed to what he's thinking. So why is that not a stira? So Rabbi said the pshat is because if you look right there in the Gemara, so Gemara says that if a person makes a tnai and he comes along later and says, no, Libi Haisel is Kaddish Lo, despite the fact that I made the tnai. So the Gemara says, V'chi agadna lav kol kamine l'mekka tonight. If you said something explicitly, you don't have the right to come along and be so certain.
Okay? So, didn't we just say that when you have a stira, you follow Dvarim Shabbat Peh? No, so the answer is, you see from the Gemara, that if I'm ever being sold for myself, the Dvarim Shabbat Peh don't stand a chance. That's not what we're dealing with in this halacha in Hilchos Shavuos. Rather, we're only talking about a case where you're so the mashmos of what you said with your Dvarim Shabbat Peh. When I make a neder to the onsen, so the mashmos of what I'm saying can go one way, that it should be asur li'olam. But I come along and I'm mefarish what I meant, that I didn't mean li'olam, I meant only today. I only want the prayers to be asur today. I'm mefarish what I said with my Dvarim Shabbat Peh, with my Dvarim Shabbat Peh, period. And the Ram adds to that, that's the pshat in Hailo Lefarish. When you're in a situation where the gun is not to your head and you can say whatever you want freely, so then Hailo Lefarish, you have a responsibility. If you want to go against the mashmos of your words, you have a responsibility to say out what you said bepeh. However, in a situation of Lo Hailo Lefarish, when the gun is to your head, so then you don't have that responsibility to say out what you're thinking, because you don't have the opportunity to say out what you're thinking, because the guy is going to kill you, the guy is going to take all your money. So b'chiyai gavna, since you didn't have the ability to explain it, so then we don't consider the dvarim shebelev bottle to the dvarim shebepeh. So the Rajbah himself deals with what's going on over there also, and the Rajbah explains that the way Rebbe understood it, it's not 100% explicit. The Rajbah says, "Enechanami, you can always be mefarish what you said with your Dvarim Shabbat. You can't go against it mefarish. You can't be sosur totally what you said bepeh, but you can be mefarish. However, Rabbi said it's only when there's a makom of ambiguity. Only when there's some room that's deliberately, I shouldn't say deliberately, when there's some room that invites a Pirush Rashi, that's what Rabbi said, when invites a Pirush Rashi, so then your Dvarim Shabbat come along and explain to us what you're saying. But if you said something categorically that, enachanami, it could go this way, it could go that way, but it's not explicitly ambiguous, so then you don't have the right to come out with what your Dvarim Shabbat is saying. Okay? So when a person says, these pairs should be usher, so the normal understanding of that is that they should be usher li'olam. You don't have the ability to come along and say, oh, I really only meant in my head. So why is that going to help you in the case of Nidya Onsen? So the Rajbah says, and the Ran says this also, that's a case of Dvarim Shebelev Lev Kol Adam. That it's so clear that anyone in a situation like this would react the same way, and they would lie, and they'd make a neder that I really meant something else. Right? So B'chiyai Gavna says, if I actually said it. Not mamish as if I said it, but it has the same standing. And in short, the difference between what the Rajbah and the Ran said and what the Ramam said is that according to the Rajbah, if it's Dvarim Shebelev Lev Kol Adam, so you take those weak Dvarim Shebelev, those chalish Dvarim Shebelev that you're thinking, and you bring them up to the status of Dvarim Shebepeh. You give them more strength. However, according to the Rambam, they always had the same strength. They always had equal footing. It's just that when you're in a makom of Yesh Lefarish, you have the responsibility to be Lefarish to tell us exactly what you were thinking and say out what you had in your mind. However, in a case of onus, so you didn't have that opportunity to explain what you're saying. You didn't have the opportunity to explain what you're saying, so we don't hold that against you. And then you can come along and be Lefarish afterwards.
Okay, so Rebbe said that one nafkamina between the Rajbah and the Rama might be the tzir that the Shach gives. That's in Simon Reish Lamed Beis, Sifkaten Lamed Gimel Yoredeya. That up until now, what the Gemara has been talking about is where the Ma'anis just makes you say a neder, that the Peros are whatever they are, and you're going to come along and think in your mind that you meant they should only be usher today. But what if the neder that he makes you say is a neder that they're usher li'olam? You said that explicitly. So would you have any way out of that? So Rebbe first suggested, according to the Rambam, any time that it's lo hailo lefarish, right? So we can say that you're not going to be able to come along and say that, even though I said li'olam, I meant for today. But the Shach suggests you can do something else. You can add on a clause to what you or know there that isn't so sure what I said. That I knew. The guy makes me make an eder that these pairs are asur li'olam, and I think to myself, they're asur li'olam kol zman that I'm being held up against the wall by you. right? Nafkamina, when the guy leaves, so they're no longer usher. I mean, the Isha Li'olam was only provided that the guy would be holding the gun against my head, Li'olam. Now that the guy's gone, so that Tanai Li'olam doesn't exist. I wasn't so sure what I said. I just added on a clause that the neder I made shouldn't always be enforced. So according to the Rambam, so the Rambam will tell you, I didn't have the responsibility to be mefarish it because I was under duress. So therefore, if I come along later and tell you that this is what I had in mind, the Rambam told us before, somchen al divrei libo. Okay? According to the Rajbah, it's not so pashut. According to the Rajbah, if we're assuming that the makom onus works because it's from shibali b'leiv kol adam, and it's as if you said it, so then again, on the one hand, if there's nothing that's ambiguous about what I'm saying that invites the pirish, it could be that the tanai that the shach wants me to have in my mind is not going to work, again because of the lack of ambiguity. But on the other hand, you could say that the whole idea of dvarim shabli v'lev kol adam is that anyone in this situation would tell you that they're only making the neder as a bluff against the ma'anes, and some way that they can get the neder not to be chal, they'll take it, and that's really what they have in mind. So the anan tahadi is not on a specific formulation of what I'm thinking, but rather the anan tahadi is just on the escape route, the way to get out of the neder by adding on some sort of nusach that will get me out of it. One har that Avi was pointing to, Rebbe mentioned at the end of, I think, Shir Nun Vav, that despite what we were medayik and Rabbim in Parag Gimel, that Dvarim Shebelev have the status of Dvarim, it's just that we don't follow what they're saying versus Dvarim Shebepeh. So the Rabbim at the end of Parag Beis, when he's talking about Chazar Tokedei Dibor, is mashma a little bit the other way. The Rambam over there says Nishba v'chazar bo v'sokedei Dibor b'libo. Person makes a shvua, and then Tokedei Dibor in his mind he's chazar, ein zeklum. So that doesn't count. The question is, what do you mean ein zeklum? Up until now we've been saying Dvarim Shebelev are something. It's just we listen to Dvarim Shebepeh. What do you mean ein zeklum? According to the Rambam, it sounds like you totally disregard it. So it could be that that's a little bit different, because that case is not what we've been discussing up until now. We're talking about Dvarim Shebelev, where I make a neder, and at the very same time that I say the neder, I have a slightly different kavana in mind. So we can use that that kavana to explain what I had in mind when I actually said the neder. Masha Einkein, what's going on in Perek Beis, Halacha Yates, is that I said the Shvua, and then afterwards I come up with a Chazara. So the Etzem Chazara is supposed to be a Hadchasha. So when my Chazara is machish what I said, and I didn't even do it at the same time that I had the shvu in mind, so it could be even that that also will be zero, according to the Rambam too. According to the Rajban Ran, all Dvarim Shebelev are weaker than Dvarim Shebepeh, and that's why they lose. According to the Rambam, could be that we only treat the Dvarim Shebelev in a weaker sense or in a non-existing sense when they're coming after the shvu itself, in terms of Chazara. Okay, the next topic over here is what happens when a person does a Maisa Ba'onis. Does it have the status of a Maisa or not? So this came up when we were dealing with the question of when a person has to make the neder because of an onus, and we find that when the neder lamaisa is chal, it's gonna be based on what he has in mind. Again, if he has in mind hayom, or if he has in mind something else according to that shach. But what we really have to ask is, why is anything chal? Right? The very fact that I'm under duress and this guy is gonna shoot me if I don't make the neder, he's gonna take all my money. So shouldn't that be enough to say that I don't have das to make a neder and therefore nothing should be chal? So the answer is no. It's meduik and the ritva this way. And Rabbi had other rise to this, that what's different about the das that's necessary for a neder and other das that we find in Mekach HaMemkar and Gittin and Kedushin is that you don't actually need Gemar das in order to be chal a neder. Okay? We have a number of examples of that in the third parak of Nedarim, such as when a person makes a Shvuas Havai. Shvuas Havai is an example of Shvuas Havai is when a person says, I saw as many people as Yotzei Mitzrayim. And he obviously didn't see 600,000 people, okay? But we come along and we give a pirish to what he meant,
and say that he just had in mind to make a shvua that he saw a lot of people, but not take it 100% seriously. And the Gemara is another example where two people, a lokeach and a mocher, are arguing over what the price of a certain item should be, and the lokeach and the mocher each make a shvua, I'm not going to go through with this deal unless you raise the price or unless you lower the price. And in every one of those cases, we were able to say that he doesn't really want to make a shvua, he just wants to show you how serious he is. But the Gemara goes out of its situation, it goes out of its way in that situation, and in the case we said before about Shvua Savai and other examples, to touch up what he said, to say that this is what he meant when he said this. But not to say that we just throw off the shvua because he wasn't serious to begin with. And the reason is because any time I make a shvua, I make a neder, even without total gemiras das, that's enough for it to be chal. The din of piv v'libo shavin that we see in the Gemara, that should be a kasha on this, right? Piv v'libo shavin, you have to say exactly what you're thinking, and what you're thinking has to be what you're saying, and if not, nothing should be chal. No, that's not the pshat. It just means that you have to have in mind to be motzi the words that you were motzi. Anytime I was motzi the words that I wanted to be motzi, and for that matter, the words that I was motzi were the words I wanted to be motzi, that's enough for piv v'libo shavin. And the shvua, the neder is chal, even if you don't have gemiras das, in that sense. And that's why in that Gemara, we have to touch up what he really meant in order that it shouldn't be chal in the most extreme sense. So if that's correct, when a person is making a shvua to the person who's collecting the taxes and wants to take all his payers, so we have to come up with a taich of biyom, because if he wasn't thinking that the whole time, so then the result is that the shvua is really going to be chal. But even though the guy never really wanted to make the shvua because he doesn't mean that these things are really shel truma, but it doesn't matter. As long as I intended to say the words that Yesru peiros olai, that's enough for the neder b'chal, even though I didn't have actual gemiras das. Now what that suggests, again, as is mashma from the Ritva and other Rishonim who reflect this, is that a maisa that's performed ba'ones is considered a maisa. Because the other mahalach is to say that when a person does a maisa, it's totally ignored. It's as if you didn't do it. It's as if it happened me'elov. If that would be correct, so then this whole yisod that we just discussed wouldn't check out. And he's going to say it. Why? Because if the whole point is that the neder is chal, even though it was done ba'ones, because you don't need gemiras das to be chal and neder, you don't need gemiras das to be chal shvua. Yeah, but the reason it should not be chal is because you did ba'ones, and it's as if I didn't even do it. You're coming to tell me no. It's as if I did it, and it's chal because I don't even need gemiras das, even when I'm doing it under duress, the shvua, the neder is still chal, right? But if you tell me that an ones makes the maisa not really a maisa, so then there isn't even anything here to talk about, to say that you made a shvua, that you made a neder, b'li gemiras das. So that seems to point towards Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was the one who held that a maisa done, the onus does have the status of a maisa, it's just that there's a patur onshin. Okay, and two of the rais that the Rav brought from that was, number one, what the Ram says in Minin HaMitzvahs, Losasei Reish Tzari Dalad, the pasuk of Lenayah Losasa Davar, says that it's an azhara to Bezdin not to punish a person who did something ba'onas. Okay, so now you could only imagine having a separate mitzvah in the Torah not to give a punishment to someone if you treated the maisa there that they did as an actual maisa. That's why you have to come and tell me, oh, you don't get an onus for it. But it doesn't have a status of a maisa at all, nothing to talk about. Similarly, the Sifra and Achremos, Dalid, says that the Sari Mishaleach was machaper on Avera's ba'onas. But again, if you don't treat a maisa vera done by onus as a maisa vera, so then I don't need a kapara from the Sar Mishalech. So that's what Reb Chaim held. Unlike the Chanda Shlomo, which is quoted by Reb Chanan in the first couple pages of Kovashim and Ksubis, one of the rides that the Chanda Shlomo has that a maisa vera is not a maisa. I'm sorry, maisa ba'onus is not a maisa, is because Rashi applies the pasuk of Lenayah L'Sasa Davar to a case of onus that has nothing to do with an avera, an onshin. So if it's not just coming to pat you from onshin, it's coming to tell you that the whole maisa is not a maisa. It's a big kasha on Reb Chaim. Another kasha they ask on Reb Chaim is the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Dalid, that if a person is ma'anes someone else to bow down to a behema, to be ovid of Avodah Zarah, to worship that behema, the behema does not become nesar agabim mizbeach. So that would suggest, because since it was done by Onis, so the Maisa Avodah Zarah doesn't have the status of a Maisa Avodah Zarah, and that's why it's Mutter. According to the time, the Maisa, there was a Maisa Avodah Zarah done. So the Brisker said Avodah Zarah is different, you can't bring a riot from that. Maybe didn't explain in Shia what that meant, but the Brisker actually says it out in Sefer, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, which was pointed out by Joe Wex when we learned the Sugya in Tzuvos. Okay, so that's the Shaka V'Tarah in that question. Just to be most of another Mar Makom, Rebbe quoted the Berachas Shmuel, it's in Ksubis, Siman Hesef Katan Gimel, which supports Reb Chaim to say that a Maisa Ba'onis is a Maisa, from the Sugya of Tlu of Zavin Zvini Zvini, where we say that Agav Onse Gomer Makne, by the fact that he accepted the money, so we say that he took the money, and he really needed the money, so in exchange for what he's getting for it, he's gomer makne v'das sholem, the field that the guy is trying to buy from him. So just very bekitzer, that itself seems to prove that a maisa b'ones is a maisa, because if the whole focus of that gemara is to say that his lekichas hamos, even though it's being done b'ones, but the fact that he takes the money expresses that he has gemar das to be makna of the field to the person who's buying it from him, we can only take that seriously if a maisa ba'ones is a maisa. Because otherwise he's just taking the money, great, it's in his bank account, but it's not that I willingly took them in order that I should be motivated to be makna of the karka. But if you say maisa ba'ones is a maisa, so then yeah, then we very seriously take into account the fact that you took the money and that caused you to be makna of the field to someone else. Okay, now the problem is though, if we prove from our sugya that a maisa vera ba'onis is a maisa, or at least that a maisa neder ba'onis is a maisa neder, and it's chavir don't need mirzas, and almost all the rishonim, except for maybe the Meiri, are going that way, so isn't that a very strong raya against what the Chamda Shlomo said, against what Rabbi Chanan was saying, that a maisa ba'onis is not a maisa? Because otherwise, again, the Ritva and others who say that if I not for the taich of I believe I only wanted to ask them hayom, right? Even though I'm being no der ba'onas, but had I been had we not treated the maisa avera and the maisa neder as an actual maisa over here, so then we wouldn't have to come on to this. Elamai does have the status of a neder, does have the status of a shvua, and even though it's done ba'onas, it still has the status of a maisa, and that's a right to time, not like the Chamda Shlomo. So how do they deal with that? How are they going to get out of that? So Rebbe explained that we have to be mechal between two different types of onus. There's one type of onus where the onus is on the Maisa Aver itself, that I'm being forced to worship the Asherah tree. Okay, so there the Etzem Maisa Avodah Zarah is being done by onus. Masha'in Kain, the Gemara has another example where a person is very sick and his mamish is a state of pikuach nefesh, and the only way that he can heal himself is by taking the Atzei Asherah, which are Aser Ba'anogs of Avodah Zarah, and using them to heal himself. So there, the onus that he's faced with is not an onus to be over Avodah Zarah, not an onus to get Hana from the Asherah. But since he is in a tough situation, Pikuach Nefesh, he is forced to willingly take that Asherah and use it as a refuah. So when do we say, when does the Chamda Shlomo say that a Maisa Ones is not a Maisa? That's when the Maisa Ones, that's when the Ones is on the Maisa itself, when I'm being forced to be over to Avodah Zarah. That's when you say that it's like he didn't even do it. But if the Ones is not on the Avera per se, but I'm in a tough situation, and the only way I can get out of that situation is by doing the Avera, but it's not that my sickness caused me to take that Asherah as refuah, there, even the Chamda Shlomo would agree that a Maisa Ones is a Maisa. And just a siyua to that is a distinction we saw in the Raman Hilchos Brachos, that the Psak Lemachaber is that you don't make a bracha if you eat Machalos Asuras. Okay? But if I'm sick, I'm sorry, if someone, but again, that's talking about a situation where I'm forced to do so. The Ramah is in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Dalet Sif Ches. The Ramah says that if someone forces me to eat something, so I don't make the bracha, even though I got hanah from that. Okay. However, the Mechaber afterwards says that if I forget what I said before, that's the case that the Ramah is talking about. If someone forces me to eat something, I don't make a bracha even though I got hana. And afterwards, the mechaber says that there's a sakana and I have to eat machal sasuris, I do make a bracha. And there, the Rama doesn't argue. So what's the difference? Because the only time the Rama is going to say I don't make a bracha of makam ones is when the ones is to eat. So then the hana that I'm getting is not mechayev me to make a bracha. However, when the sakana is already existent on my guf, and then the only way I can get out of the sakana is to take some food, even though it's machal kasuris, but l'maisa, the hana that I'm getting out of it is not a direct result of the onus. That's the way I'm dealing with my onus. But it's not that there was an onus to eat this machal kasuris per se, so there the Rama would agree that I do make a bracha. And that's the same distinction as we saw over here. Okay, Rebbe had a little side Yisodos Machlokas about Rabbi Nachman and the Rambam about when you make a bracha when you're tasting something and not swallowing it. We won't get into that, but I think it is mevor in the Shiurim from the Rav on Tisha B'Av on Amud Lamed Ches, I think, but not for now. And just to be mashlam, that's what we're talking about in our case. Our case is where the reason I'm taking the nether, even though I'm taking the nether by onus, it's not that the guy came and put the gun to my head and said, make a nether. It's that he says, I'm going to take all your money. I'm going to take all your payers. So you respond to that onus by saying, oh, I make a nether that all those fruits should be usher if they're not really truma, etc. So there, I had an onus, and the way I dealt with that onus is by making a nether to potentially ask for the fruits. But it's not that the guy actively pushed me, the onus, to make the nether. So there, even the Chavad Shalom would agree that it does have the status of a maaser. Okay, coming out of the Sugya of Brera, so the Gemara has a case in Daf Nunam and Bezim and Mishnah, when you're Makadesh, one out of five women, and we don't know which one you had in mind. So the Gemara only seems to have a problem with the fact that it's Kedushin, Shein, Misun, Labia. But mitzad the fact that you're going to create a Maisa Kedushin, where it's not clear who you're married to, that doesn't bother us. We can have such a chalos. So, L'chorit should have something to do with Machlokas, we find elsewhere in the Gemara, about Yesh Brera or Ein Brera. And the example that we have in Gittin and Chulin is if a person has a certain amount of Tevel, and he says, the Shnei Lugim Shani Asad Lahafrish, the two lugan that I have to be mafresh to matzah this pri are going to have a status of ki'ilo as mafresh them, they're going to be over there, even though I haven't actually been mafresh them. Will that work to be matir the tevel? But open that later I'll come along and I'll separate it physically then. So that's the Gemara's case of machlokas brera in brera. Okay? So now it's almost impossible to say, before we get there, just in our case, so we have two important questions in the Achronim, which will be answered, Rez Hashem, with the Yisod that we find in Breyer in the Sugya. First question is a question that the Avni Milum asks. Avni Milum says, if you hold Breyer, Yesh Breyer, then what's the problem over here? Your Makai is one woman out of five. So later, you'll come in and tell us, oh, that was the woman that I wanted to marry the whole time. So everything will be fine. On the other hand, if you hold Ein Brera, so then you shouldn't have any Kedushin over here. Because you can say that it's impossible to be Chal Kedushin, v'makom, where the Chalos Kedushin won't actually have any Birur, because you won't know where it was, where it was Chal, who was Chal on. Because in the Manda Amar Ein Brera, there's two ways to look at it. You can say either it's impossible to ever make a chalos that's ambiguous, okay, such as making a hafrasha where my hafrasha doesn't actually point to anything, or the other possibility is that I can make a hafrasha that's in mevureres, but it'll stay like that because I'll never be able to pick out of the pile which ones I had in mind to be mafresh, and I'll just have a mixture of heter and iser, l'ol and void, and never be able to do anything about it. But the Machna is asking, at least according to that first tzad, that I can't be chal, according to my Damar Ein Brera, a chalos that ain't b'vareres, so then in our case in the mission, nothing should be chal. And again, the Avni Milum is asking on the other side, if I hold Yesh Brera, so let the guy come along later and say that this is the one that he was Makadish. So we see from the Tosas Rid, very important, you sort of how Brera works, that will answer these questions. The Rid basically asks, why is it that there's no discussion of Brera in our sugya. Okay, the Rid says, Gam b'chamesh nashim, Nami inlis machal brera. Velomer zu ani rotsa. Vehuver hadaver shazu kidesh. Shekevan shebe ace. Hakidushin hayasafek ma brera yesh lomar. Since at the time when he actually made the kedushin, so there was a suffix in what was going on, so you can't say brera. Ma brera yesh lomar shlo yeda eza kidesh bevadai. Im haya omer eza she'erza hayom amachar. The only time you can say brera is when at the beginning of your hafrasha, at the beginning of your being makdish l'lach meitoda, basically what you say is you leave open the possibility for the details to be filled in later. You're not saying when I hold yesh brera, that based on my actions at a later point in time, it turned out that this was always the case. Right? Let's take the case of Softu Malatzes. Softu Malatzes is where I have to decide which Pesach I'm going to bring the mace out of. So, since I'm bringing the mace out of one specific Pesach, everything under other Pesachim in the house, or other openings in the wall, the Chalonos, are automatically Tahar. So when I go ahead, and I follow Beis Hillel, and I take the mace out of the house and I hold Yesh Brera. So what am I saying? Am I saying that, oh, based on what I do now, I magically transform the past into a state of where from the very beginning, from when the mace originally passed away, it was always going to be taken out through that path? That can't be, because you can't create a new mitzvah that didn't exist. Rather, if you look in Rashi in the Sugya, Rashi's careful to be medayik that the brera is going on your das. That when the mace died, my kavana was that I'm going to take it out of one of the psachim, and I'll figure out which one I'm going to take it out of later. So too, when I make a hafrasha, I'm adding in the words, beiz lugan shani asid lahafrish la'achar zman. I'm not just saying that, oh, later I'll be mafresh truma, and it'll limafreya count as if they were already hufresh. That doesn't make any sense. I can't change a metzias. I can't create a metzias that never existed. But I can say that, oh, I'm going to create a chalos now that will be nizbara later. That I can do. And the mandamer in Breira holds that the chisaron is not that there's something wrong with my das, that the das is einim b'vareres, because we see in our Gemara that a das einim b'vareres can create a chalos kedushin when you're mekayesh one random woman. He just holds that you can't create a chalos that will make something happen now to be mizbar later. That can't be. I can make a chalos with a das einim b'vareres, but I can't create a chalos that has the birur coming later. Okay, so how does that answer our two questions? It answers our two questions because let's start with the Machna. The Machna said, "Laman damer ein brera." So why don't you say that nothing's chal because he didn't have a das biris? The answer is because that's not what Man damer ein brera says. Man damer ein brera says Yitaka can create something that's in a mevureris now. You do have that ability. You just don't have the ability to create a chalos of in a mevureris now that will be fixed later. Okay. On the other hand, the Avni Malum's kasha, why don't you hold according to the Manda Amr Yesh Breira, that the guy later will come along and say, oh, this is the one I really want to be Makash all along? Because no, the whole Yisod of the Tosfos Rid is that from the beginning, when you're actually Makash the woman, you have to be able to say something along the lines of, one of you is Makash to me, and I'm going to figure out which one that is later. You're going to have to do an Osid Lahafrish. I'm being Makash one out of five of you now, you know, on the assumption that I will later decide which one that I want to be Makadish. But if you just make a blanket statement, I'm Makadish one of the five of you, so that's not going to work. My memory is Breyer never said that that makes any sense, because there's no window to try to straighten things out later. Rebbe just went ahead also to explain a couple of sugyas that would seem to be against this. We'll just give the example of Yerusha. The Gemara in Bechoras, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, says the question of whether or not Yerushim have a din of Lekuchos or not, I'm sorry, Achin Shecholku, whether or not they have a din of Lekuchos or Yerushim, Nafka Minin Linin Yovel, right? If I split up a Yerusha that I got from my father, and Yovel comes, so do we say that everything is sent back to the middle, and we got to divide it up again, like other Lekuchos? Or do you say, no, when you're Yerushit, you're Yerushit and you keep it? And the Gemara says that depends on Breira.
Okay, if you hold Yesh Breira, so then I'm like Yershim. If you hold Ein Breira, so then it's like the Lekuchos. Question is, what's Shaychus? Why did that Machlokes have anything to do with what we're talking about? If we just established that Breira can only exist when the original Das for the Chalos was a Das that made some Chalos happen, on the assumption that later we're going to straighten out the details, we're going to fill in the blanks. So you have to say, to answer up to Zerid, that the Xeris because of the Yerusha is not simply that, you know, the father dies and then it's nechassim that are sitting there waiting to get divided up. But the Xeris HaKas of the Parsha of Yerusha is that at the Shas Yerusha, even before the Chalukah actually takes place, the Yorshim have a Zechi in the Nachala that lacks Birur that will be explained later. Okay, meaning here, instead of someone actually saying the Shnei Lugim Shani Asal Maharfish, it's Kilu that was part of the Tanai of how the Torah dictates that Yerusha work in the first place. That it should be a Chalos Yerusha that will allow for the details to be nisbar later. Okay, finally, the Machlokas Ram and the Ran, Chaim, the Sugi of Koshi Yeshu B'Zachas Agam V'Asachas Eino, is a Machlokas when a person comes along and says to his wife, who made a neder, that I wanted to be Hufer and I also wanted to be Hukam Vivasachas. Hukam Lechi, Vahufer Lechi, Vivasachas Ma'al, the Gemara says. So, B'chia Gavna, the Ran and all the other Rishonim assume that when the Gemara responds over there, Nedarim, Samachas, and Beis, Kulshi, Efshe, Vizachazah, I feel Vivasachas, I know, in the same way that I couldn't be Nekam and Ned and then come along and do Afara afterwards, so I can't do them at the same time either. Right, they're associated with each other, so I can't ever try to make them bichal at the same time. It's not going to get me anywhere because lemaisa, it's a self-contradiction. The Ram, on the other hand, says that no, the hakam is chal, and that's what Reb Chaim has to deal with. As all the Rishonim asked from the Rambam, how could that be? Because kol sheyesh b'zachze hafilu b'asachzeinu always means that nothing's chal. Like in our sugya, if you try to be mekayish both achayas at the same time, nothing's chal. You don't say that one of them is chal. The same thing when I try to be mafresh two times meiser, the Gemara at least asks that it should have been that nothing's chal. It's only because of the special din of l'chatzoin that we say that one's chal. That's the kasha on the Rambam, and Reb Chaim explains, I'll feel the way Rebbe is masbirit, that anytime you have two things happening at the same time, there's four possibilities of what could happen. Either both of them are chal, none of them are chal, or one or the other could be chal. Again, total of four possibilities. So right off the bat, we know that both of them can't be chal because there's a self-contradiction between the hafara and the hakama. But if we're going to take step two and say that one out of the two should be chal, we have to explain why one makes more sense to be chal over the other. And to that, Reb Chaim says, we have to look at the difference between hafara and hakama. Hafara basically makes the neder disappear, and as a result, there's nothing to be making. But it's not that the etzem din of hafara is sosa the din of hakama. It's in yeshivish terms, it's a chisar nechatimsa. Masha'inkin, when hakama is what takes place first. So hakama is a din that pushes away any hafara. It says that this nether is now hukam and gives a chalos in the nether. It's a nether shahukam. And a nether shukam is iyasher b'hafara. But it's not that it just made it impossible to do the hafara because the details of the situation are different. But no, it said that this nether that you started with, that up until now you could have been nefer, now it no longer has the ability to have hafara. So you see that hakama is not just a chisar nechatimsa, but it's a menias chalos. It tells you that no longer will hafara be able to be chal. So since those two don't contradict each other in the same way, so then we can entertain the possibility that one should be chal as opposed to the other. The Hainu, if I'm mekayish one sister, I have Sarah and Rivka. If I'm mekayish Sarah, so the fact that I'm married to Sarah, that makes it impossible, Chaim says, for me to marry Rivka, because they're sisters and she's an erva. So the fact that I'm married to one makes the other one an erva. So that's where each one's kedushin pushes the other one out of the way. There's a chalos of one kedushin that makes the other chalos impossible to happen. Mashenkin when it comes to hafara and hakama,
Bishlama Hakama, the Chalos of Hakama makes this neder impossible to be removed through Hafara. But when Hafara takes place, it's not that Hafara makes it impossible for a Chalos Hakama to happen. No, it just means that there's nothing else to talk about. There's no neder here to discuss. So Chaim says when the conflict is that type of conflict, where it's not that each one is pushing away the other, it's not that one chalos makes it impossible for the other chalos to happen, but it's just that the hafara makes it irrelevant to talk about hakama. So there we can take one over the other. We can say that the only one that's pushing away the other one is the hakama pushing away the hafara. So if the hakama pushes away the hafara, that's going to be the one that stands, as opposed to the hafara remaining. And the Rambam, the kids of the Rambam, didn't understand Koshi Efshar B'Zeh HaZeh the same way the Rambam did. The Rambam said that Koshi Efshar B'Zeh HaZeh means just anywhere Lamaisa there's a Sphira, right? Anytime Lamaisa, the fact that these two Chalosim couldn't happen at the same time, Afar and Hakama can't both exist, that's enough to say Gam Vasach. Say, no, the Rambam understood, no, it's not a question of if the Totsos can happen, but it's just a question of when one possibility is pushing away the other one from being Chal. Okay, so now in terms of the Chazmish's Hasagas, so the Chazmish basically says that in all of our cases that we find Kedushin, there is no Menias Chalos one versus the other. When you're Mafrish twice over in Meiser, so it's not that when I was Mafrish 10%, that makes it impossible for me to Mafrish something else. No, it's also a Chisar Nechatim, so there's no more Tevel over here. There's nothing else to talk about. So it's the same thing that Hafara does to Hakama. But nevertheless, in that Havmin of the Gemara suggests that we should apply Kol Shi Yeshu B'Zeh HaZeh HaFilu V'Asach HaZeh Eino, even though what the Chazanish is saying, that Reb Chaim L'Shitaso should tell us that that principle does not apply to Meiser and all the other examples that the Gemara has. So to that, Rebbe explained that it's not 100% true, because it could mean that Kol Shi Yeshu B'Zeh HaZeh means slightly different things in each sugya. Dahainu, again, every time we have such a case, we're going to examine what would happen if both things would be chal at the same time. Okay, and when we say that both things can't be chal, we're going to take a step back and say, okay, maybe we should at least let one of them be chal. Okay, which is what the Gemara is dealing with in terms of Meiser. We know that I can't make one big Meiser that overreaches what I'm supposed to be doing. Right, that's the problem by Meiser. I'm only supposed to be Mafrish 10%, and I go and I'm Mafrish 20%. So, in the same way that I wasn't able to do that B'Zeh HaZeh, because there's no Tevel over here, right? Because the only percentage of Tevel that I can possibly be Mafrish on, is limited to taking 10%, the normal 10% that I always have. So if I try to take another 10%, I haven't done anything. There's no more Tevel for me to be Misakin. So to when I go ahead and do it straight up 20%, I was trying to be Mafrish more Tevel than I actually have. So it's not going to work. Just because I took that one Maisa, that bad Maisa, and went too far with it, right? So that's why it's going to be impossible for 20% to be Chal. Question is, should we let 50% of that to be Chal? So normally, in a case of Kol Shi Yeshu B'Zeh HaZeh Gam V'Asach HaZeh Eino, we're not going to let that happen, because then it's going to be a distortion of what I was trying to do. The alternate option of having half of what I was trying to do Bichal is not what I was trying to do. So I was trying to make 20% to Bichal. You can tell me 10% is Chal. That's not what I was trying to do. Okay? Lamaisa, the fact that 10% is Chal in the Gemara is because of a side reason of Isal Chatzon, but not because it's the second step that we act upon in every case of Kol Shi Yeshu B'Zeh HaZeh. Masha'in came in our case in Nedarim, so I'm trying to do Afara and Hakama. So if I can't do both of them at the same time, it's not unreasonable for one of them to be chal, because that's not a distortion of what I was trying to do. I was trying to do both. If there's a reason why they can't both be chal, that's okay. But lamaisa, whichever half you end up choosing, I had in mind to do that. Masha'in came when it came to the one maisa, the one big maisa that I did by maiser. Are you going to tell me only half of it's chal? No, I didn't try to be mafrish 10%. I tried to be mafrish 20%. As opposed to two maisim, where if you tell me I'm only going to be left with one of them, okay, the maisa was trying to do at least that one maisa. Okay, so right off the bat, we can entertain that even though hafar and hakama have opposite chalosim, if you leave me with the hakama, makes sense, because that's what I was trying to do. So as a result, with that background, when the Gemara says in our case, so basically what they were saying was, you tried to be mafresh 20%. There's no such thing as mafresh of 20%, so you're left with zero. But in the Darim, it's entertaining the possibility that you tried to do something. Okay, I can't have them both be chal, but let me at least see if one of them can be chal. Did I want to do that one thing? Yeah, I did want to do that one thing. So let's investigate what it's going to be. Oh, and then Reb Chaim comes in with his yisod, why Hakama should be the one that remains as opposed to Hafara. Okay, basically what we've done, the tremendous chiddush in Rebbe, and it's not the way the Velt answers up Reb Chaim against the Chazon Ish. Rebbe basically said that Reb Chaim is not touching any of the examples that we find in Kedushin, and it's a totally separate sugya. And all the Chazon Ish's kashas, you know, one after another from the case of Kedushin, Rebbe says no. Reb Chaim never had to be misyachis to those cases, because those cases were all singular mices where I tried to be mafresh too many lachmei toda, too many bechoros, as opposed to doing two separate things, the hafara and the hakama. And as a result, he just ignores anything the Chazon Ish is going to try to get him with. And economic could be that what the Chazon Ish is saying about Meiser being a chisaron hechatimsa and not menias chalos could taka be true. Okay, finally, Rebbe also wants to be miyashev against the first kasha that the Chazon Ish asks, which is about hafara and hakama in general. Again, Reb Chaim's understandings that hafara and hakama have yisodistic characteristics that oppose each other, as we discussed. The Chazon Ish says, maybe the din is, we find in the Torah that if a woman makes a neder, the Baal has a right to choose. Do I want to keep it or I don't want to keep it? And you get one shot. You make the choice. If that's correct, so then Chaim's whole yisod falls out, because there's really no inherent difference between the way Afara works and the way Akama works. It's just, you get one shot. So, to that, Rebbe reviewed something we discussed in Shir Nun Gimel, which again was his piece in Beis Yitzchak Chof Beis, that we have a number of rayas that a nether, when you have Chacham come along and be mocked with the nether, it's not the pshat that they made it as if it never existed. It's just that there was a nether, and we come and we're mocked to that nether. Okay? So that's step one in terms of Hagdama. That's the way Hataras Medarim works. That explains, just to bring one raya, why the Gemara is looking in Chagiga for so many different possibilities of what the Makor and the Torah of this Chiddush of Hataras Nedarim is, and we try to understand why is that such a big Chiddush. If the whole Yisod is Tos, it's like, I never went to make a Nether in the first place, why do you have to find Xeris or Kasuv that can be Matir Elmai? No, the longest in Hataras Nedarim is that the Nether is Chal, and we come and Matir that idea Hataras Chacham. Okay. Once you have that, so Rebbe then referred to the Rav's piece in Masorah Beis. It's on page Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis in Masorah Beis. The kasha that all the Akronim ask on the Rambam is that the Rambam seems to reverse the rules of Hafara versus Hatara. The Rambam says you have to be very careful that if you're a Chacham, you have to use Lashonos of Hatara, and if you're a Baal, you have to use Lashonos of Hafara. And if you switch those, you're not able to accomplish halachically what you tried to do. For instance, if a Baal uses Lashon of Hatara, so it doesn't work to be made for the nether. So the problem is, the Rambam seems to get things backwards. For example, the Rambam says in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Beis of Nedarim, Ketzad Mefer, Omer Mufer O Batal, O Ein Neder Zaklum, Uchiyotu B'Dvarim She'enyanam Akiras HaNeder Meikara. The Rambam has all kinds of Lashonos that suggest that the Baal is coming to eradicate the Neder. Akiras HaNeder Meikara. Question is, it's clear from the Gemara that that's what happens when Chacham makes Hataras Neder. Adrabba, the Gemara Nazir says that Baal Megas Gais, he cuts off the Neder Mikana Lahaba. Not that he's Akiras HaNeder Meikaro, Okir HaNeder Mitchilaso Mefiro, like the Rambam says over there. It's backwards. So the answer the Rav explained for the Rambam is that no. And Echanamit, there's Xeris HaKosev that when a Baal is Mefer, that's Mikana Lahaba. But in terms of the way the Baal is Mesiaches to the Neder that the wife made, he has to be Mesiaches to it, that as if he never wanted to be Chav from the very beginning. a very important nafkamina, ain't habal made for bekodman. A baal is not able to be made for a neder that the woman made before they got married. Because he doesn't have the ability to be misyaches to the root of that nether where it started, because he wasn't married at that point. He can only be made for a nether that started as part of their relationship. Once you have that, so it's a question of how you're misyaches to the nether. So the way I'm misyaches to the hafara of that nether is to say that I never wanted the nether to exist in the first place. So if that's correct, that's different than hakama. Because it's truly different than the Hatara, but we're trying to understand, coming back to Reb Chaim and Hilchos Nedarim, the difference between Hafar and Hatara, right? The Chaz, Chazanu said, what's the difference? There's no Yisroelistic difference. I have a choice, either I make Hafara or I make Hakama. Chaim says, no, there's a fundamental difference. Hakama is a Chalos in the Neder, that it makes it now a Neder that is Eshel Hafer. And Hafara is just a removal of the Neder, Kilu doesn't exist. So that's what the Rav is pointing out in Rambam. This is Rebbe's own extension of that, but that the way the Baal is Mesiaches through his Hafara is to say, you know, I'm just Mevatel the Neder as if it wasn't here. I never had any concern with it. I never wanted it to exist. So if that's the case, so then there's no room to say that the Hafara is a Chalos that prevents the Hakama from coming later. No, Hafar just tells you that it never existed. Masha Enkin, Hakama is like Reb Chaim told us, it's a Chalos in the Neder that makes it Yesher Bahafar.
This is